This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Nevena.
Thank you very much, Macca. We're joined in the studio by our next guest. It's a little bit of a change of pace from the political hot seat that you've been listening to for the last hour or so. We're joined today by Dr. Matteo Vergani, who is the Senior Lecturer in Sociology at Deakin University and a Senior Research Fellow at the Alfred Deakin Institute for Citizenship and Globalization. Macca, today he's joining us because his latest research focuses on the ecosystem of hate, which includes discrimination, hate speech, hate crime, and politically motivated violence. He was part of the team that put together this seminal report, Defining and Identifying Hate Motives, Bias Indicators for the Australian Context. Welcome to Saturday Magazine, Matteo.
Thank you, Nevena. Thank you, Macca.
Thank you. I was going to say, what relevant research, you know, and when we've seen how political campaigns have changed, we've just seen the US midterms elections, and how campaigns in Australia have changed. What did you find in this? What are your findings in terms of why, well, can I say, why has it deteriorated so much? Why is the political, you know, discussion points, why have it deteriorated so much?
Oh, look, there are many reasons, and I'm maybe, I think we would need a unit
okay.
to explain it, probably. But let's say, certainly, some identities, including, you know, for example, the transgender identity, to mention one,
yep.
is at the center of political polarization and political extremism. So now, or Muslim identities or yep. other, you know, identities that we have in multicultural and diverse society, especially like ours. So when they become at the center of political contention, of course, you start seeing a increasing extremism and polarization of opinions, and that can spill into the real world. So we have hate crimes and violent incidents. Well, I have to say that what the situation we have in Australia is not like the United States, of course.
Thank goodness.
Or dare I say parts of Europe.
Yeah. Or parts of Europe, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm comparing to the US because there is one big difference, which is there are less guns and firearms,
yes.
you know, in the community. So that makes it easier to prevent extreme violence, even though it can happen. But what we see is that Australia does not have a good enough legislation to address these problems. Legislation to protect communities and targets, and the legislation to, for example, collect data about what's going on in the community.
Because if you don't collect the data, then you don't know what you need to protect against, do you?
Oh, you have, look, if you ask me, and yeah. my research is about, you know, understanding what we know about hate. If you ask me, has hate increased over time? Honestly, I don't know, because we do not have enough data to know. Absolutely. Police is not collecting data, communities sparsely, so yeah.
And Matteo, your report, it deals with broad categories of hate incidents, and we're talking here amongst cultural groups as well as different members of our community. You mentioned trans and gender diverse people, people of different sexualities. Were there any commonalities you found across the different cohorts?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is another problem, which is the problem is tackled in silos in Australia. So as if racism was a problem different from homophobia, different from transphobia, different from ableism, but they are all part of the same issue. So what we are trying to do is to start having a holistic approach, comprehensive, without leaving anyone behind. Look, I'm not the first to say that some communities are more protected than others in legislation as well. And this is a problem. So we need to stop working in silos and address the problem as a whole.
Do you think the media landscape, the concentration of ownership of media in Australia fosters this sort of situation where voices are often not heard, and the voices that are heard are amplified and particularly I'm thinking of, you know, you don't need to comment on it, but Sky, you know, that Sky After Dark is a place I wouldn't be going. But what do you think?
No, absolutely, I agree. Look, there is very good and solid research, again, not done in Australia because mm-hmm. we do not have data, but in Germany, in the UK, US, showing that there is a relationship, a co-occurrence between what happens in the media, online, in mainstream media, and violence in the community. So there is a relationship,
yeah.
And media do, and political leaders do have a responsibility, of course.
Matteo, I'm really fascinated by this report because, like you said, it's really important for us to be able to understand why hate is occurring in our communities. But I'd like to know, this material is really quite distressing, but do you think that by putting a name to hate, understanding its context, understanding its motivations, we can work to prevent incidents from occurring in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very important question about awareness in the community. Yes, we need to put a name, we need to measure what's going on, and we need to look. The reality is that as we do not have a good enough legislation, as we said, there is a long list of, you know, institutions where people can report certain incidents, like the Human Rights Commission for non-criminal incidents, police for criminal incidents, and then there are community organizations collecting data. But this creates a big confusion in the mind of people, of targets of hate. So they don't know what to report, what is criminal, what is not criminal, what happens if you report. So there is a big confusion, and we need certainly to raise awareness, name what's going on in the community, and being able to measure it and face it, basically.
So what is the best way for the data to be collected, and who should do it?
Look, we need a one-stop shop for data collection, one place where all community feel safe to report. Of course, we know that, especially in certain communities, there is a low trust to the police. Mm. So we know that some communities will tend not to go to the police for a long list of good reasons, historical reasons. So maybe it shouldn't be only the police receiving data. But again, it's we have to work in a, you know, in collaboration with the institutions to be able to create a one-stop shop, again, a one point for data collection, which collects not just criminal incidents, but also non-criminal incidents.
And that this is then decides, or, you know, it's then assessed, is this, you know, for want of a better word, a civil matter? Is it a criminal matter? Because if you don't define it, if you don't say this is unacceptable, part of doing that is you have to actually say, well, who's going to collect the data and what are the consequences of it? So it's sort of, it disturbs me that there isn't. I would have thought the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission is, it would be a good place for people to start, but
it's a problem because they cannot share the data because of privacy regulations, and this is kind of crazy, right? Because privacy regulation, they are very important, but in some contexts, it means that it doesn't work very well, sharing data to stop and prevent and tackle hate crime as well. So absolutely, this is what we need. And we also need, you know, to explain people, raise awareness, as you, Navina, were saying, about what is hate. So in our report, we try to identify what are the facts and the, reasons why people can start thinking this was motivated by bias or by hate.
Hmm.
Matteo, I've got a two-part question for you. So my first one is, what would be your hope for how this report is used by government? And the second is, does it provide an impetus for our government to finally implement anti-vilification reforms, which is language or comments that can go on to incite violence? And so what these reforms are seeking to do is to add sexuality, gender and disability as protected attributes to the Racial and Religious Discrimination Act.
Of course. Well, thanks for the two very important questions. So I start with the first, which is easy. We would like the report to be used, for example, number one, by Victoria Police to do training to police officers. Because in many cases, Victoria Police is not collecting data about prejudice-motivated crimes because the frontline officers do not have training to recognize what can be bias-motivated. Because, you know, in the training of a police officer, bias-motivated crimes are a tiny part which no one cares about. So more emphasis on that and using, you know, the report for education. Well, and second, absolutely, look, it's unbelievable that the Victorian Racial and Religious Tolerance Act does not consider other protected characteristics, which are considered everywhere in Europe, in Canada, United States. So we absolutely need to advance legislation, avoiding to leaving behind so many groups and communities because it does a lot of harm.
So when you look at, the information you've collected, were you shocked by it? Were you disturbed? Were you surprised? I'll give you a choice.
I don't know. Look, I think I've been studying hatred, violent extremism for 10 plus years. So I guess, it's what I was expecting. To be honest, I was surprised by, again, the lack of institutional, legislation and institutional thinking about how to address the problem. To give you an example, in the United States, there was a legislation passed in 1990, so 30 years ago, saying that the FBI should collect hate crime data federally. Mm. We do not have that. Even now, 30 years later.
We don't do it.
We don't do it. It's crazy. Mm. How come Australia is so behind?
We lag in a lot of areas.
No. Dr. Matteo, thank you very much for joining us in the studio today. We were discussing the seminal report, Defining and Identifying Hate Motives, Bias Indicators for the Australian Context. Thank you for joining us on Saturday Magazine.
Thank you, Namina. Thank you, Macca. Pleasure.
Thank you for your work. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Namina. Stay with us. We're returning to politics in just a moment.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.